So before anyone goes anywhere, we have time for some questions. I see some hands already, so.
My name's Mark Binder, and I'm a writer and a storyteller and a former reformed politician. And I was listening to you talk about delivery methods and industry, and then you said something about we're trying to create education that is not personality driven. And that's, I think, the point that, I don't know how to ask this as a question. Do you guys realize that by testing and testing and testing, you kill the personality? And that's the problem with the system that the current administration that you're working for is putting into our schools. You can talk about lowering expectations. You've lowered the expectation to achieving grade level average.
So let me see if I can turn that into a question.
Please.
A little bit. because it's a common question that we hear, you know, how do we have accountability but at the same time make school a place that is fun and wonderful to be, where students learn to love learning?
Yeah, so I was at something this morning, a celebration of a labor management partnership in Providence, and U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan was on the phone. He got asked a very similar question by Linda Borg. And, you know, basically what he said in response, and I'll quote from him, is we're not satisfied with our current results, no matter how you measure them. We, you know, so-called high-stakes testing may not be the best way to measure performance, but our expectations are too low. Too many of our kids are being left behind, no pun intended. And as soon as someone has a better idea of how to bring accountability and drive changes in our system that is underserving its kids, I'm all ears. And, you know, and I think that's a good answer. Are we fans of testing? No. Is it testing for testing's sake? No. You know, the point that I made earlier about the high school graduation requirements, setting expectations back in 2003, and the number of students who have actually gotten remedial help since then has gone up about 5%. You know, so what needs to happen, you tell me, to actually galvanize change? Yes, it's a let's get rid of testing and let's make it a happier, more supportive place. But, you know, we're still dealing with over 25% dropout and much higher in our urban cities. And, you know, so we do need to drive change. We need to have high expectations. You know, testing is a tool. You know, it's not, we're not in a state where it's a test or fail. There are multiple measures. There's applied learning requirements. Have to complete a certain amount of credits. You know, so we do try to be nuanced, but, you know, just being the nice guy in the block is not going to make the changes that our kids need right now.
Just to respond and then to ask the question, I don't think we have to be nice guys in order to have a much more effective education, one. Two, we have a program in Providence that's been working really well now. It's in its 17th year. And that's, there are five MET schools in Providence, one in Newport, 70 around the country. We have been for years and years, and I worked there for a number of years, seeing kids in high school where we have to help them with skills. But what we do is we make it a lot more fun to talk about that in terms of what do you really care about? Let's go into the community and do community service and find out how it works. And that's been a solution that's helped a lot of kids make it. And it's been very frustrating because we haven't seen other schools pick that up as much as they could. Yes, Finland has a very homogeneous population, but they're still doing much better than other countries similarly. And one thing they say is there's got to be more play in schools. There's got to be more activity in schools because that will connect kids to what's real. And then they want to learn. And then they have a good time. So my question would be, why don't we do more of that in Providence right now when we have the model here, when other schools have shown that, where history of progressive education has shown that? Why don't we do more of that?
I do think there are some programs in our public schools where students are getting credit for internships and learning they're doing outside of the classroom. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'll start with the Met. I'm a big fan of the Met, and it was mentioned earlier that I started out as a public school teacher. I started out as a public school teacher in an alternative high school because I believe the very things that you people believe, and you know, I'm not just wearing my heart on my sleeve. I did that because I believed in it. I worked and ran programs for Outward Bound Directive for several years, teaching adjudicated kids. I get applied learning. And, you know, I'm not a mindless defender of high-stakes testing. You know, what Elliot Washer has done with the Met nationally is a real credit to his brilliance. And the Met is a public school. And, you know, not all of the Mets are state-funded across the country like they are in Rhode Island. So I think Rhode Island has stepped up and recognized we'd like lots of models. I mean, at the end of the day, different kids learn differently. I have two daughters, totally learned how to read completely differently. And I'm sure everyone in the room, you know, knows what I'm talking about. We need to have real choice. We just need to have an unwavering insistence on excellence. And, you know, at some point, high-stakes testing, we're probably going to look back at this as kind of a quaint era when, oh, we knew so little. But, you know, right now, we need to, unfortunately, we just don't see districts responding without incredible external pressure. There's just, the inertia is just too strong.
One of my main questions is, I'm sorry, I'm Erin. I think that our kids think that the testing is so that the schools can get money. I don't think that they see that the testing is for them. So that's just, a reality side. My seventh grader goes through two sets of kneecaps and three sets of NWEAs a year, so I know that's affecting her classroom time. But my question is, why aren't we doing a better job of letting everybody know about the variety of options that we have? I live in Middletown. I found out about the Newport Area Career and Technical Center when I was filling out a job application. I didn't know it had been there for 31 years. I didn't know that you could graduate from high school and test to get your cosmetology degree. I didn't know that in my community you could do automotive training and carpentry training. And I've got kids in middle school. And so I think if there are great programs out there, that we need to do a better job of letting families know that they exist, because we don't know that they exist. I've been in my community for 17 years and had never heard of it. I don't know. And also, I'll just make the point that there used to be more than 15 programs, and now we're down to 6.
My name is Steve Fortunato. I teach on the graduate level, and I've been following this controversy for the last several years about what to do about education. Dean Bergeron is the first one to speak about the need for liberal arts and education for citizenship and democracy. Everything else is about technology and funneling people into so that they can become cogs in an economic system that has dubious value, at least in my view. So I want to know what's happening in Rhode Island schools now about the liberal arts, because people are showing up in my classes at the graduate level that it's clear that they didn't get the humanities, literature, history, et cetera, in the high school. And even if they went to first-rate colleges, there's no guarantee that they got it. So I want to know what we're doing in Rhode Island schools about that.
Well, Judge, it's kind of funny because there are only two mandated subjects in state statute in Rhode Island, and those are physical education and civics. Believe it or not, that's true.
And the problem with civics is that it creates the distaste for lifelong distaste for civic engagement.
Well, let me ask you, Catherine Percheron, what do you do at the college level? I mean, how do you make sure that the education students are getting is of a high quality? They're not taking standardized tests.
No, actually, it's very interesting that when we did the Task Force on Undergraduate Education at Brown, we began in 2007, and that was the year of the Spellings Report, if you recall, a report that was suggesting that all institutions of higher education were going to have to be accountable in these kinds of high-stakes ways that you're talking about. And that didn't come to fruition in the way that people were predicting, but nonetheless, we felt that we should take seriously the idea that a school like Brown should be able to say to the world and to its students what students had gained from being there, that we weren't above that question, and we are serious educators, so we should be able to say these are the outcomes, you could say, of a Brown education, and here's how we know. It's a hard thing to do because it isn't the way people tend to approach their teaching. Passionate teachers do all kinds of wonderful things in the classroom, but they're not necessarily thinking about how you're going to measure that outcome. And those measured outcomes don't get measured in the short term. They're so much more about long-term achievement that it's a difficult, it's a complex question. Nonetheless, I don't think we can skirt it. In our report, we ended up saying we did not want to solve this problem with standardized tests. There is the National Survey of Student Engagement, NESE, and these others that would be available. But we did say that we wanted to develop new kinds of tools, ones that I know are used in the schools, like e-portfolios, that would actually help students and their faculty, advisors, and departments to say, yes, this is what our students have achieved. And I actually think it's a wonderful thing. We're working on this. We've now actually built in-house a wonderful portfolio environment that we call ASK. It's called Advising Sidekick. And it was built to create a four-year advising platform for students and faculty advisors. And now we've developed a piece of it that departments could begin to use to say, well, you're a sociology major. And what are the things that every sociology major should be able to demonstrate. Maybe it's even just going to be a reflection that the students are required to do. But the more we build these opportunities into an education, the more we actually allow students to think, to figure out what they've learned before they leave. I think that's a really important skill development for job attainment, to be able to say, not that I took this and I took that, but this is actually what it meant to me, and this is what I can do now as a result of it.
I'm Heather Binder. I've been teaching for about 20 years. I've taught elementary school in Providence. I've taught middle school in Lincoln and also now high school in Lincoln. I've been doing this for a while. Excellent. What we need to help Rhode Island education is to bring back creativity into teaching and learning. Those are going to go hand in hand. What we have, we've already said here this evening that an excited teacher, a passionate teacher, is going to breed passionate learners, but not if they are simply learning for this middle ground and teaching for this middle ground, which is what the NECAP testing, the standardized testing, is breeding, this middle road group of learners. It's not helping those who are up here, way up high, that are advanced students. It's not helping those who are struggling learners. I personally have the biggest problem, I think, right now is with the requirement on the NECAP test for the graduation, because I was a visual learner. I tested horribly. I did horribly on my SATs. Thank goodness Carnegie Mellon let me in. But those people who don't test well are going to have problems with graduation. That was your answer to your question.
Well, let me put that to you, actually, John Hazen-White. You're an employer, so tell me, what do you most need from employees? Is creativity the most important thing? Is that more important than making sure that they have a minimum level of basic knowledge of mathematics?
I think that we have different requirements for different types of jobs, but I think in the workplace, creativity is absolutely important, and that starts at a very young age. I agree with all of this discussion about more play and more fun and more. I think that's what's really, unfortunately, for all the reasons that it has happened, has really hurt the education system tremendously. And the movement towards technology, which is a good thing, right? But I hate to see books go away and blackboards go away and writing. We talked about this yesterday. One of the things that we do see with the incoming new employees, for instance, particularly local ones, is a lack of good grammar, a lack of the ability to write. To hold a conversation, and it's really very very sad to me, because I think that's very important. The basics going away, I think, are troublesome.
Okay, so we have one last question over here.
Try to make it brief. You mentioned St. Andrews and Moses Brown. You mentioned the charter school. If you had to pinpoint something that your children got out of those experiences, and maybe David could just speak about what have we learned from the charter schools?
So my kids are in a public school district, or one's in college now, but the other's in a public high school, not a charter school. Obviously, I'm in charter schools a lot. I would just say that, going back to my closing comment in response to Elizabeth's question, I just think that charter schools are more willing to not make the delivery fit the current model, and they're not marginalized either with their budgets or their thinking. And if a group of faculty want to instill a culture of creativity across all core subject areas, they do it. There's nothing standing in their way, and so it's a much more collaborative delivery system. They're not. I made a joke about being a bureaucrat, but there's less bureaucracy, and part of that is scale. Having said that, going back to the Met, it's amazing to me that the Met has been able to achieve their model at scale without becoming a bunch of bureaucrats. And if you know any of the people who work there, you know what I'm talking about. the freedom to really bring excellence to teaching in a collaborative way without having to deal with the rigidity of a bunch of existing structures, I think that's what charter schools really have going for them, which makes it a little more difficult than I think we anticipated to translate lessons of good teaching and learning going on in charter schools to our more traditional public school systems.
Well, I'm afraid we have to leave it there. Obviously, there's much more to discuss, and we'll be back. We'll have to talk more about the issues facing our education system, because there are obviously many. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here.